listening to Hockey Central Saturday with Nick Alberga and Rory Boylan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, it's time to break down a 12-game Saturday in the National Hockey League as the trade deadline draws closer and closer. It's Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Nick Alberga joined alongside Rory Boylan at the Golden Muzzy at Rory Boylan, where you can follow along via social media. Job well done, by the way, by producer and Wild fan extraordinaire Hayden Mathewson, as well as statistician Papa Minnow here on location. Shout out to Tristan and Jared back at Master Control. You can feel the lunacy in the air this time of year, right? And I think it's important to tell our listeners, when you're seeing a trade rumor or a trade go down, make sure, A, you see the blue check mark, and B, the validation of that tweet for sure.
Yeah. A couple of people have already been fooled by things over the last week or so.
And fake accounts from people in their parents'
basements. Beware. Yes. Beware. Check the Twitter name. Check for the blue check mark. Look at the spelling. Make sure it is all spelled correctly. Don't be fooled again.
Well, we always say that, and then people are fooled.
Yes,
and I love this time of year, too, because of hashtag asset protection. We're going to see that in the next week.
Yeah, well, hello, Edmonton Oilers. Be careful with what you do.
Well, Puljujarvi's not an asset protection. They're just sending him to the AHL because he's not good enough for the NHL. He was a healthy scratch on Saturday, and we'll get to the Oilers conversation coming up. The Ottawa Senators are the focal point, again, of another trade deadline. I wonder how much I would wager in Mark Stone and Matt Duchene having played their last games as an Ottawa Senator.
I mean, you wonder, because where they played tonight in Winnipeg, that's a team that's going to be in on one or both of them, you'd think. And you look at Ottawa's schedule, they got two more home games between now and the trade deadline. One of them's coming up this week, and the other one is just before. You know, you're getting to that crunch time where you know, or you should know, if you're going to have a chance to sign these guys, and if you don't, I think you would want to get on that. This is not something you would want to wait until the last second to do, right? You want to make sure that you're getting the best possible return back. And I think you're going to do that by making it clear that these guys are moving first and then getting that done before the 11th hour.
And the latest, of course, regarding the Ottawa Senators from Elliott Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada is that they've now put Matt Duchene essentially on the trade market and said, hey, throw us an offer. Well, Mark Stone, it sounds like they're trying to negotiate a contract extension.
And that's the key one, right? Like, it's never been a shock, I don't think, that Duchene could be traded. Not Stone, really, anyway, because he's going into his final year. But that's the guy who was always the potential future captain of this team, the most important player that they have left, and the one that everybody was hoping that they could keep. So if he goes, that's really the sign that, man, this is going to be a long rebuild ahead.
It's always interesting, too, I may add, that this time of year when guys know they're on the block, potentially could be moved, how they seem to heat up. Look at Matt Zuccarello the last little while. He's been a man possessed playing on that line with Zibanejad and Chris Kreider.
Yep.
And only fitting, and according to script, it happened in this game, and that's where we start. MTS Place in Winnipeg. It's the Jets and the Ottawa Senators, and obviously three guys on the block for the Senators all scored in that one.
Kachuk for Stone scores! Mark Stone, welcome home. 1-0 Ottawa. Mark Stone with it. Waiting. Has a look to the net. Now plays it off. Bobby Ryan across for Duchene, who scores. Tierney deflects it by Scheifele. Tierney up for the puck. Got it across to Zingle. Scores! Ryan to Zingle. Bazinga! 4-3 overtime win for Ottawa.
I love that. Whoa. Call from John Bartlett coming to play in an afternoon thriller, but it wasn't. It was at nighttime. But nonetheless, interesting. Sportsnet 1, John Bartlett, the call with Greg Millen. What's going on with the Winnipeg Jets? They lose to the Ottawa Senators, who clearly don't have their first-round pick. They lost to Detroit the other day and then somehow beat one of the best teams in hockey, the Winnipeg Jets, and two guys rumored to potentially go there. Mark Stone, the Manitoba native, scores his 27th. The Jets scored two shorthanded goals in the first period. Rudolph Balcer scored a goal in the second period. Matt Duchene, 47 seconds in, up to 27 on the year on the power play. Tyler Myers, his 7th at 14:01, sent this game to OT. And how about Ryan Value to Zingle, his 22nd from Tierney and Jaros. And Ottawa takes it 4-3, the final in Winnipeg, Roy.
Three wins in 8 games in February so far for the Winnipeg Jets. So they're going through a little bit of a struggle here. Hunter Hellebuck has just not been himself from last year. Very mediocre. Yeah, thank goodness for Laurent Brossoit and what he's been able to do for this team this year. Two losses to Ottawa within the last week for Winnipeg, too. I think this is something they get over. And I know last year that Kevin Cheveldayoff made his move for Paul Stastny on deadline day. But I wonder, because you look at their schedule, there are three off days here. And then they go on a three-game road trip that will take them through the trade deadline. Do you think they pull off a trade before that road trip starts?
Jump the market?
Jump the market and also get them there for this road trip. Get them as part of the team. Granted, your first game outside of this, your first game back from the trade deadline, I should say, is at home against Minnesota. So that'll be a huge game. But I wonder, because you got some off days here. Yeah, maybe now's the time to do something.
And I think now that teams have a bit more clarity on what Ottawa would like to do in the next week leading up to the deadline, I think we'll open up the floodgates in terms of trades right now, because I think a lot of what was going on or lack thereof on the trade market was respect to the domino that is the Ottawa Senators. When you hold pieces like Duchesne and Mark Stone and Ryan Dzingel could be on the move in the coming days, those are three big pieces. And, you know, as soon as you get clarity on those situations, maybe it opens up. And I wouldn't put it past Winnipeg, because this is a juggernaut of a team. And I'd put them in a laundry list of maybe three, four teams who have a legit shot at the Cup this year, Roy.
Yeah, I would even think the list of contenders is longer than that.
Yeah.
And teams that I wouldn't be surprised to see go on some runs. I think it's actually quite long this year.
There are teams that are a little bit. There's great teams.
The list is shorter for great teams. But contenders, like, I think there's a lot more than that. And there are situations I don't think you can wait on. Like, I think Artemi Panarin is going to go right down to it, right? Columbus is going to
want to wait. That'll be a decision at 3 p.m. Eastern time.
That's going to be something you can't wait on. But, yeah, you're right that this Ottawa situation is becoming more clear, and that probably will get this market started here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, let's hope, or we're just going to watch Jeff Merrick juggle on TV for 7 hours. And as great as that man is, it's not going to be a lot of fun. From there, we roll on to PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh, a matinee affair between the Pens and the Calgary Flames.
We're set to go in Pittsburgh. Glad to have you with us as Lindholm wins the opening faceoff. Top line against top line to start this game. Ryan steals back to the point to Shillington with a shot. Pinballs on goal. The score! That changed direction twice on the way through. Gets under Murray, and the Flames open the scoring in Pittsburgh. Back to the blue line to Brody, across to Rasmus Anderson with a long shot. Save, rebound, they score! Frolique able to put the rebound in. An early second period goal by the Flames, and they're up 2-1. Tipped it ahead, stolen by Letang. Cullen checked neatly by Ryan. Back on the attack with Zarnik. Here's Zarnik with a shot. Scores! Austin Zarnik. There's some payback for that big hit. Flames up by two. Tipped it ahead, stolen by Letang. Cullen checked neatly by Ryan. Back on the attack with Zarnik. Here's Zarnik with a shot. Scores! Austin Zarnik. There's some payback for that big hit. Flames up by two. Johnny Gaudreau scoops it up. Works it over the line. Gaudreau's pass blocked, but Lindholm follows up. Settles it down. Turns and shoots. Murray save. Rebound in front. Tip back to Hamonic. Hamonic shot. Scores! No reset. Anderson. Side of the goal. Back the pass in front. Here's Bennett. Scores! He finds Kessel, who carries it over the line with a pass to the middle. Crosby feeds it to Malkin, who scores! But the Flames up by two. Malkin plays it back to the line. Gets it back. One-timer scores! A great screen by Patrick Hornquist, and the Pens have cut it to a one-goal game. Crosby kicks it back to Malkin with a shot. Stopped by Smith. Rebound on the end boards. Throw it out front. That'll do it as the puck goes all the way down the ice towards the empty net. And time winds down. The Flames hang on.
What a crazy game on Sportsnet on Saturday afternoon. Rick Ball, Cassie Campbell, Pascal with the call. Calgary just hanging on for dear life in a 5-4 win at PPG Paints Arena. Matt Murray surrendered 5 goals on 29 shots. Casey DeSmith in relief, 7 saves in Calgary, ending a 4-game skid with a 5-4 win.
Even though this was a loss for Pittsburgh and they are going to exit Saturday night sitting outside of the playoffs, I thought it was a good sign what we saw from Evgeny Malkin today. He was getting physical. He got credited with 3 hits. He got those 2 goals, both on the power play late in the game that made it a game. But his, I hate to say struggles, but he hasn't scored as much as he would like to this year. And he's talked about that a little bit and how his season hasn't gone the way he's liked to so far. He just is coming off a suspension. Evgeny Malkin is better when he's angry.
Motivated.
Yeah, and if this is a sign of this is what's going to start coming out of his game, like he's had enough of his struggles, he's, you know, the opponents are getting under his skin, that can only be a good thing for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So again, it's a loss, and it's a tough loss against the Calgary Flames, but that might be a silver lining for the Penguins.
It is, but the Pens are in a precarious position.
For sure
right
they
now.
Are.
Like Carolina's red hot. I think Buffalo, quite frankly, it's going to be a struggle for them to get involved
yes.
in this conversation. But
yeah.
the way Pittsburgh's playing, and it's deadline time, I mean, they've exhausted their moves. Maybe they have one more up their sleeve, but it hasn't seemed to change the focus. And the fact that they haven't had consistency anywhere up and down the lineup, whether it be in goaltending, the back end, offensively, defensively, and it's a worrisome situation, I'm telling you right now.
It is. I mean, Carolina is the second best team in the NHL for the last month and a half. Montreal has Carey Price, and they're one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the entire league. Columbus, I just don't think that they're going to trade Panarin, but they could be a team that looks radically different after the deadline. Who knows? Pittsburgh is the one that all season long, they've never found themselves. They've never really gone on an extended stretch of play where you're like, oh, okay, here come the Pittsburgh Penguins. But all these other teams kind of have. I can't rule them out. I can't, like, no one's going to be surprised to see the Pittsburgh Penguins in. I'm banking on them finding that stretch before the season is over.
We're breaking down a 12-game Saturday in the NHL. It's Nick Alberga joined alongside Rory Boylan on Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Our next stop, SAP Center. After missing 9 games with a groin issue, Erik Karlsson back for the Sharks at home to the Vancouver Canucks. Great start for the home side. 3:45 in, Timo Meier. Career high now 21 on the year on the power play, but a quick response. I know Antoine Roussel, more so the Canucks, got a ribbing when they signed this guy to a lucrative contract, but he's actually been pretty decent. One of their best forwards all season long, scores his 7th. So it was 1-1 after 20 in the second. Sharks grabbed that lead right back. 11:08, Logan Couture is 21st from Pavelski and Burns, and that's when we go to the third period at 4:31. I think the goaltending for the Sharks let them down again.
Lifts the puck in from center. Patterson hustles after it. Checked by Vlasic. Here's Besser coming up front. Brock Besser shoots. He scores! Almost looked like he muffed it, but it fluttered in past Jones, and Besser has tied the game at 2.
Well, spring training is here, so I guess that was a bit of a change-up courtesy. Brock Besser is 21st from Elias Pettersson and Derek Pouliot, and all square at 2 in that one. John Shorthouse, Louis DeBrus, the call on CBC. A 2-2 hockey game, and it seemed to be going that way all the way until OT, but then San Jose had a response, 13:06, the eventual game winner.
Markstrom gets it past Pavelski and onto the stick of Biega. Fan in his pass. Now he's checked, and the Sharks have a chance for a 2-on-1. Here's Meier, stopped by Markstrom. Rebound. They score! Joe Pavelski.
Good teams step up when it matters most, and that's what San Jose did in this game. The 31st of the year for contract year, Joe Pavelski, Meier, Couture, the assists, and San Jose would stave off the Canucks from there. 3-2 the final. San Jose 7-1-0. In the last 8 games, they get Karlsson back. He got a primary assist on the first goal, and ho-hum, they win again. As for Vancouver, they dropped 5 of the last 6 now, Rory.
Yeah, tough loss for Vancouver. They outshot the Sharks 34-26. Their power play was killer going 0-for-4 tonight, so they needed to get something going there. But I thought it was a really strong showing for them. Another good game, I thought, for Adam Gaudette. Some of their young guys, I mean, Elias Pettersson plays 23 minutes and 49 seconds here. And I think of note, too, Erik Karlsson's first game back from that groin injury, plays 24 minutes and 44 seconds. So I think they were accurate all along that it was really nothing to worry about. There was some question, why was he playing in the All-Star game if he was injured and everything like that? I know you were big on that.
That was me, yes.
But he comes back, and I think they're just kind of being careful with it. They're in the playoffs, and they don't need to rush anything back. He comes back, and he's a big, big, big difference maker again for the Sharks.
Speaking of difference maker, it's always just an incredible homecoming, it seems. Every time Austin Matthews goes to Glendale, it's like the second coming of you-know-who. But how about Rick Tocchet? It seems like one of the very few coaches in the NHL who has the Toronto Maple Leafs figured out. What a stifling defensive effort I felt by Arizona from puck drop to the conclusion of this game at Gila River Arena. 2 goals were scored, and they weren't from Austin Matthews.
Keller to Galchenyuk, stripped to the puck, gets it back, lost it again. Osterley held the line, side to net, score! Alex Galchenyuk from Jordan Osterley, and the Coyotes get the first goal. Lawson Crouse stepped into Gardner, and the puck stayed in on the stick of the Coyotes. Stepan shot, rebound, Archibald scores! Regina's Josh Archibald makes it 2-0 Coyotes.
Jim Houston, the call on the CBC. Alex Galchenyuk, the former Hab, making a pay again for the Maple Leafs at 3:19 of the second, his 13th from Osterley. And then Josh Archibald, his 7th from Stepan and Kraus. And how about that? Darcy Kemper. Yes, Darcy Kemper notches a shutout on Hockey Night in Canada. Who saw that coming? Arizona 2, Toronto nothing.
It's amazing. Toronto was 9-0-0 on the road against Western Conference teams coming into this game.
Not anymore.
It was the Arizona Coyotes who were able to shut them down. And, I mean, it was so lopsided. The high-danger chances were 8-3 in Arizona's favor. And if you look at the shot heat map, I mean, there's nothing from in front of the net for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And actually, their highest area, the highest concentration of shots were coming from the left point. You can give those to Jake Gardner and Travis Dermott, who got most of the shots there for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So just a bad game for the Maple Leafs. It was a really boring one to watch. And where was the revenge for Austin Matthews?
There was none. It was actually opposite. Like, the city of Glendale put the hex and the revenge on Austin Matthews. And
yep.
I never look at things half full or half empty, whatever way you want to place it. But I like the tenacity that Arizona played with defensively in that game. They gave Toronto and their skill no time and space. I love the way they stacked the line on the power play. Mm-hmm. They didn't give any Toronto room to breathe. And that team is most successful when these guys can use their heads. They're so smart with the puck. You give them time to demonstrate their skills. It's night over. And again, Rick Tocchet's on to something, because the Coyotes swept Toronto this season.
Yeah, I think some of what's flown under the radar here, because Arizona has really been chasing the playoffs all season long, they were one of the best defensive teams in terms of shots against for the first couple of months of the season, and then injuries hit. And they've kind of fallen back to the pack since then, but it has nothing to do with anything falling apart for this team other than players just not being available for them. And tonight was a reminder of really what Tocchet can get out of his team. And he's not Barry Trotz, but it's interesting in how he's been able to really create a system for a team that doesn't have any star power yet. Maybe Clayton Keller becomes that, but they don't have that yet, and made them a team that's just hard to play against and just scratching and clawing, trying to stay relevant in that playoff race. And I think they're going to be there until the very end.
Yeah, they're tough to play. There's no doubt about that. We roll on to Amalie Arena in Tampa. The latest victim for the Lightning, the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price, full value in this game. But when you're playing Tampa, and especially Andrei Vasilevskiy, you have to be as close to letter perfect as possible. Was not meant to be for Montreal in this game. In fact, it was 0-0 all the way to the third period, and nobody in this world can stop this man right now.
Here's Point, drops it back. Palat ready to shoot. There goes Kucherov. Score!
All right, make that 12 points in the last four games for the red-hot Nikita Kucherov. Dave Randorf, the call, is heard on City and Rogers NHL Live. Kucherov's 27th on the PP from Stamkos and Palat. 1-0 Lightning at 2:16, and not to be outdone at 3:41. It was 2-0.
Cross-ice pass attempted by Drouin. Turned over. Here they come again. Shot scores! Here he goes!
All right, not much of a shocker. Tampa wins all the time. Yanni Gord is 16th reporting Kucherov. So now 13 points in the last four games for Kucherov. Johnson would score his 21st from Stamkos and Palat. A 3-0 final for Tampa. It really is getting remarkable. And again, just bring your bets to Vegas at this point. This team likely to win the Stanley Cup. Vasilevskiy, 18th career shutout, Rory, passes Ben Bishop. Keep in mind that Vasilevskiy is 24 years of age. He already owns the franchise record now for shutouts in Lightning history.
We can't hold it against these players and probably the coach anymore that the team is good and not give them end-of-year awards. John Cooper, is he ever going to be able to be in the
running
for the Jack Adams?
But he's not
going to
get it this year because Trotz, right?
Right, but is he, like, he's not even in the discussion for anybody.
You're right, you're right.
You know, Kucherov, I think, is in the discussion, but are enough people going to give him the first place vote to win the Hart? I mean, he should be winning the Hart Trophy this year, hands down. The guy might score 120 or 130 points by the time all is said and done. It's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing. And then Vasilevskiy, too. I think he needs to be right there in the Vezina. If he's not the leading candidate right now, he's got to be very close. This team is good because they have good players, because they have players who should be in the running for awards at the end of the season. And enough of holding that against them, I think.
They won five in a row now, 7-0-2 in the past nine. By the way, Montreal, First three-game skid since late November. Cause for concern right now?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this team is... They're better than a lot of people expected. They're still one of the best five-on-five, and Carey Price is on top of his game. And that's as far as you're going to go, and I don't think you can worry about it as long as he's playing as well as he is.
All right, we roll on here on the program. The Edmonton Oilers making a stop now into Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and who envisioned a reunion between Sam Gagne and the Oilers? I don't know about you. I could never have it. The way that thing ended, it wasn't even that toxic the way it ended because he's a really humble dude, but I didn't think... for once that we'd see that back.
No, I didn't think
so. It's crazy.
I thought if anybody was going to get Gagne, it would be a team in the playoffs trying to help their power play. Because that's basically what he is. He's a bottom six guy now who you probably don't want to have out there too much at even strength. But put him on your second power play unit, and that's where his value is. The Jordan Eberle trade tree is just kind of looking not great right now. But I will say about this trade, I think Gagne is the better player than Spooner right now. So...
they won it.
You know, I guess.
The Oilers finally won something. They definitely didn't win this game. The New York Islanders, Robin Leonard, the call against Mikko Koskinen. Ken confirmed no video tribute for Koskinen.
What?
The former New York Islanders, who somehow is one of the richest men in Edmonton right now. I still can't believe he got that contract. No scoring in the first to the second. Ryan Pulak kicks off the scoring, his sixth of the year on the power play from Devon Taves and Josh Bailey. A 1-0 lead in a 13-30. Val Filppula chips in with his 12th, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 3 seconds left in the second, a big one for the Oilers. His 18th, so it was 2-1 Islanders after 40 minutes of play. We're into the third period at 5:09. You got to love this kid. That kid that won the Calder, 17th of the year.
A little late arriving. Barzal stays with it. Back to Taves, quickly over to Mayfield. Mayfield to Bailey. Bailey back up top it goes. Mayfield lets it go. He scores. Taves with the shot. And it's a 3-1 game.
Kevin Quinn on Sportsnet West right there. And Matthew Barzal is 17th again from Devon Taves, who has provided quite a bit of value offensively since coming up from the American Hockey League. Josh Bailey, no relation to Jonathan, by the way, if you're wondering, Roy.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't, but thank you.
You're welcome. 3-1 at that point. Then a response from, there's only like three or four guys who score goals for Edmonton. And yeah, yep. Sam Gagne played in this game but didn't produce. Leon Draisaitl is 35th on the power play from McDavid and Klefbom. Never heard of those guys before. 3-2 Islanders. That being said, 17-44, the Mariano Rivera.
Klefbom keeps it in temporarily, and now Komarov. Joined by Lee. Komarov trying to get it over to him. Let's the shot go, and he scores.
You can't stop the New York Islanders, evidently enough. Anders Lee, he of a contract year, is 19th from Leo Komarov. Then Brock Nelson is 18th. Empty netter and ho-hum. The Islanders win again. It is getting utterly ridiculous in the stranglehold that team is starting to put forward in the Metropolitan Division. A 5-2 win against the Edmonton Oilers. So the Islanders now 29-2-1 when they score at least three goals in a hockey game. Edmonton's dropped four in a row, 1-8-2 in the past 11. They lost 10 of the last 11. And the Islanders have won five of the past six games. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. I can feel it right now.
Yeah, they are. It's a strong system. They're going to add at the deadline. Their goalies are off the charts good. The best tandem in the NHL right now. I mean, who saw that coming? How this team has turned it around is just amazing. And Edmonton's slide just continues. Sam Gagne plays 9 minutes and 56 seconds, so actually more than Jesse Puljujarvi minutes. He drove about 3.5 hours to get to this game from
Did
Providence
he?
On his own. Isn't that pretty cool?
Well, I think the paycheck in the NHL feels good.
Yep.
Well, he's getting
there,
it anyways, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting any of this.
And I think the frustrating thing from this, from Edmonton's perspective, is I think this is the third game in a row they've actually not played bad. They outshoot Pittsburgh 39-34, lose that game. Outshoot Carolina 41-27, lose that game. Outshoot the Islanders tonight 36-24 and lose that game. And the common denominator across all of that and really across all the season is nobody outside Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl is doing anything to add any offense. I mean, Zach Cassian has been their fourth most effective forward over the last month or so, and that's not what you want from this team.
Yeah, sadly, it's a results-oriented business. So to say you tried is not good enough at this point in time for the Edmonton Oilers. Anthony Stolar is, by the way, well enough to back up in this game, wearing the number 32, a beautiful baseball cap on the bench. And Mikko Koskinen, the call on the back-to-back, loses in Carolina, loses again in Brooklyn. It's been that type of season for the Edmonton Oilers, not to mention Cam Talbot now with the Philadelphia Flyers. So that's going to do it for the first half of the program. We'll hit the break. Coming up on the other side, Carter Hart. He cannot lose even when he surrenders five goals. The first part of a back-to-back between Detroit and Philadelphia, this one at Wells Fargo. The Hurricanes can't stop them right now. They're going to wake up very, very happy on Sunday, and it's not because of the storm surge. They played host to the Dallas Stars. The Blackhawks and Blue Jackets got together. Another huge night for Artemi Panarin. Revenge is on the mind, certainly, when you're at the UC in Chicago. He made them pay big time. After that, the Avs continue to struggle. St. Louis, man, oh, man, that team cannot lose. Looking for number 9 in a row there. And the Golden Knights trying to get back on track as they hosted the Nashville Predators. Malcolm Subban against his brother in that one. PK going for Nashville. And then we'll wrap things up with the LA Kings hosting the Boston Bruins. It's Nick Elberger, Rory Borland with you, breaking down a 12-game Saturday in the NHL. It's Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Why only follow one game when you can follow them all? This is Hockey Central Saturday on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And we continue on here on Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. It's Nick Elberger and Rory Borland with you, breaking down a 12-game Saturday in the National Hockey League at the Golden Muzzy at Rory Borland, where you can follow along via Twitter. Our next stop, the home of Cam Talbot, weirdly enough, the Philadelphia Flyers. Man, oh, man, you talk about hot teams right now. They're ultimately going to fall short, but this has been an impressive run, hasn't it?
Really impressive. And if they could have just pieced together something a little better at the start of the season, they might have a shot. But 7 points and three teams to leapfrog to get into the second wildcard spot, that's a lot to ask for.
The old case of too little, too late. Next up, we go to Wells Fargo Center. It's the Flyers and Detroit Red Wings in a matinee affair.
Old-fashioned home-and-home series, first here in Philadelphia today, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock in Detroit. As the Red Wings in their road white jerseys get the puck into the Philadelphia zone, and we are underway. Now Simmons into the middle for Patrick. Patrick across the line, the shot, and the save. It's set there. Patrick scored! He stayed after it. Jams it home, and it's 5-1 Philadelphia. But here's a turnover. Bertuzzi in front, and he scores. So don't quite put this one in the win column yet. Flyers can't turn it over like that. And the Red Wings take advantage. Bertuzzi has looked good. Coming back from the injured list, makes it 5-2. Veroni swinging a miss with the leg, and the Red Wings have a 4-on-2. They move back with it. Vanek with it. Flyers trying to get back to even things up. Vanek, the shot, he scores! Can't happen. 4-on-2 against with a 5-2 lead, but it did happen, and the veteran Vanek beats Hart, and this is a two-goal game again. Provorov in trouble, didn't get that pass through, and now N picks it up. Back across ice to Kaiser, shot, score! May have been deflected in front. The four-goal lead is now 1-5-4. Nyquist back out. Played this way to Green. Now to Mantha. Out to the point, Cromwell has trouble with it. He's got it now. Back across Green. Green down low. Redirection, they score! Mantha with a redirection with 7 seconds remaining, and it is tied at 5. Gudas will play the puck here, and the horn sounds. And this game goes to overtime, much to the disappointment of the big crowd here at the Wells Fargo Center. And plays it out to Gostisbehere. Gostisbehere being urged to shoot, but there was no lane. Now Couturier looking for Konechny. Tipped it, save, rebound on the other side. He scores! Konechny wins it for the Flyers. All's well that ends well. 6-5, your final.
How about that? 11 goals scored in Philadelphia on Saturday afternoon. Calls courtesy of Jim Jackson on NBC Sports Philadelphia and Rogers NHL Live. The last laugh to Philadelphia. Travis Konechny is 17th from Couturier and Gostisbehere. 6-5, the final in OT. What a hockey game. Konechny, 2 goals. Nolan Patrick, 1-2. The Flyers, Rory, now 11-1-1 over the last 13.
Just so impressive. Everything's, even Nolan Patrick has been a factor here for the last little while for the Flyers. So he's maybe coming around. Shane Gostisbehere, that's his first goal since December 29th. You look at his career, it's like great year, down year. Great year, down year. Maybe that's what's going to be a trend throughout the rest of his career. But a couple of guys who score for the Red Wings in this game, I wonder if, well, I think Gustav Nyquist is going to be traded at the deadline for sure. And Thomas Vanek, too. Another guy that you can maybe add to the bottom. But
I think he said he didn't want to go, though.
He's not going to go anywhere. He usually gets traded at the deadline.
Yeah, I know. That's the joke. But in the preseason, he said, I'm signing in Detroit and I don't want to go anywhere. So I wouldn't think he's going
anywhere. Things change. He said that in pre. We'll see. You want to play the rest of the season for a team that's not going to go anywhere?
I don't know. I think I sort of respect the fact he did that. All right.
Different.
He likes Detroit. Let's move on. PNC Arena in Raleigh, the home of Don Cherry. No, not really. But did you hear he's not a fan of the storm surge, Rory?
Not at all. He's not the only one. I like it.
What do you call them? A bunch of jerks? Like it got savage. Like 10 seconds into the rant, you're like, whoa, okay, grapes. Just relax a tad here.
And the Hurricanes are taking that.
There's been a lot of these surges.
Running with it.
Yeah, they are on social media. And there's been a lot of these surges as of late. Yep. Carolina, a team in general, surging right now. At home to the Dallas Stars in this one. I thought Dallas would have more of a complete effort, considering they were blown out by Tampa on 6-0 on Thursday. Yep. But the issues offensively continue for that team. You would think they're in play for at least one depth piece at the deadline. Carolina,
they need two forwards.
Yeah, I'm with you. In a top six role right now, and I think one has to be Wayne Simmonds, but only time will tell on that front. Carolina, another strong start. That's been the MO for this team as of late. 509, Justin Williams, his 15th from Aho and Niederreiter. Then Brock McGinn, his 7th from Justin Falk. So it was 2-0 Canes. Into the third period on the power play. No trade deadline for this man.
Hamilton across Walmart. Just hopped over his stick. Now he dishes down low. Sets it off. Sanders in one-timer. Scores! Power play. Goal. 3-0.
Gotta love that call on Fox Sports Carolina's, and it's Michael Ferland. Like a month ago, we were talking about how Carolina was adamant they get rid of this guy ASAP because he was always hurt. Now he's playing really, really well. He scores his 16th on the power play, and he could be an own rental, quote that, at the deadline for Carolina. Svechnikov, Walmart, the assists, and Roy, they win again. 3-0 the final. The goaltending's been quite the surreal story for me, considering who they have in a couple reclamation projects, especially Peter Mrazek. 33 saves for his 7th career donut in this game. And the Canes won again, 9-3-2 now with Nino Niederreiter in the lineup?
That's incredible. And 15-5-1 since the calendar flipped over. They've been just on fire here for the last little while. And this win, in fact, leapfrogs them over Pittsburgh, so Carolina holds on to the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference right now, just 1 point behind Montreal for the first one, too, and 1 point behind Columbus for a third place in the Metro. So all of a sudden, you look at Carolina and you say, wow, everything is kind of falling into place for them. Do they buy at the trade deadline? They certainly shouldn't be selling a guy like Michael Ferland, who makes a living putting goals in right in front of the net, which is something the Flames have lacked over the last little while. And Niederreiter has been a great fit there for them as well. Sebastian Aho, too, is really coming along. He's the third highest scorer in the NHL since January 1st, behind only Brad Marchand and Patrick Kane. So right now, it's just looking so good for the Hurricanes. It wasn't that long ago that Peter Mrazek was on track to be like this next great goalie for the Detroit Red Wings, and everything kind of fell apart for him. But as long as one of these guys just has a stretch here where they're playing as well as they have at points throughout this season, the Canes, I mean, I wouldn't bet on them to win a playoff round, but any team that goes in hot to the playoffs has a shot to win a round.
Carolina needs it at the gate. That's where I'd feel most happy for that team, considering everything they've gone through the last little while, to have a new owner, a majority owner, and Tom Dundon, the whole surge thing, and making the playoffs, I think, would be a nice cherry on top for that team. So I wish them the best in going forward this season. We roll on, and speaking of momentum, Chicago has been red hot as of late against a team like Columbus, has been up and down. Could be a big team to watch for between now and the trade deadline, especially pertaining to Artemi Panarin, who returned to the UC once again. It's like a guarantee. Every time Panarin goes back to Chicago, he has himself a game, and it happened again on Saturday night.
He chose to come back against the grain. And here's a shot. They score back at the other end. Panarin set up from back of the goal. The Columbus Blue Jackets regain the lead. Atkinson won a draw. Here's a long shot. Jones, they score! Nice redirect. I believe Panarin in front of the net might have got the tip on that. The bread man.
Looking for revenge.
Gotta love the revenge impact of that right there. And our boy Drizzy Drake, that call courtesy of the NBC Sports Chicago and Pat Foley, the call there. Artemi Panarin, I still think he's not over the fact that Chicago traded him, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he goes back there in the offseason. But how about 2-1, a crucial 2 points for Columbus in this game, and at that beating a really, really solid team as of late in Chicago. 5-2 win for the Jackets.
41-30 were the shots for Chicago, so very high event game back and forth. I thought it was a really fun game to watch. Panarin, Kane, we know these guys are best buddies from their time in Chicago. They both light it up tonight. Jonathan Toews, I mean, we need to shine a little light on his season. 27 goals, his career high is just over 30. He could have the best season of his career offensively this year after definitely a down year last year. And with him and Kane, the goalies doing what they're doing, I mean, Corey Crawford is going to be back here before long, and that's a huge factor too. And the way the kids are coming on, Chicago is looking really, really good now. Columbus, ever since they had that team meeting after a loss at home, they've only lost one of their past five or six games. And so maybe they've turned a little bit of a corner here. I also wanted to point out one guy who played today, played only 6 minutes and 58 seconds his first NHL game, Cole Sherwood, made his NHL debut. He's from New Albany, Ohio, so he's a local boy. And John Torello was asked about his thoughts on this local boy making his debut for the team, and it's such a Torts quote, saying, quote, "I'm not going to be rude about it or anything. I don't give a damn. We need to win a game. I don't care if he's from Mars. If he can play and add something to help us win, great."
Valentine's Day was 2 days ago, even for John Tortorella. That was a great, great clip right there. So a big win for Columbus, regardless of that. Sherwood making his NHL debut, so good on him. A 5-2 win over Chicago. From there, Rory, we move on to the hottest story in the NHL right now. Vladimir Tarasenko and Jordan Binnington's St. Louis Blues riding an 8-game win streak into Denver at the Pepsi Center on Saturday, but it was Jake Allen, the call on the rare matinee affair from the Pepsi Center. Does not matter who plays in goal for St. Louis right now. This team is buzzing. The calls courtesy Fox Sports Midwest and John Kelly and Darren Pang.
It is Shane O'Reilly and Tarasenko against the Avs' top unit of McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen as the Blues work it in. Eric Johnson broke it up. Now play to O'Reilly for Tarasenko. Wide open chance. He scores! He's done it again! Tarasenko is 25th! And the Blues lead 1-0.
Holy jumping, what a snipe this is!
Barry, that shot, and it goes high and wide. And now Maroon ahead. And the Blues with numbers to center ice. 3-on-2. It's Oscar Sundqvist. He waits to the net. He scores! Sundqvist! It may have been tipped. And the Blues take a 2-0 lead. And he works hard to clear it near the line. Now gets it to center. Empty net. Can't get a shot. Tarasenko does! Hit the post. Rebound to Schwartz. Wide open. He scores! Schwartz into the empty net. And it's 3-0. And now Maroon in front. They count it down. Blues are going to win it. Second straight shutout. And for Jake Allen, his second shutout this year. And his 18th of his career, stopping all 32 Avalanche shots.
Was never in doubt. St. Louis wins again. 3-0 the final. Jake Allen this time with the response. 32 save shutout. First of the year. 17th career. Vladimir Tarasenko on a different planet right now. One goal, one assist. 11-game point streak. And St. Louis has won 9 in a row for the first time since 2002, Rory.
Remember when Tarasenko was on the trade block?
Yeah, and Pietrangelo.
And Pietrangelo. 13 goals since January 1st for Tarasenko. Is tied for the fourth most in the league in that time. And just season-long, he's got the fifth most slot shots in the league. We knew this turnaround was coming. We've been talking about it for a while.
We have.
And it's finally arrived. St. Louis has not trailed in a game at all since February 5th. Like, that's unbelievable.
It's another guy you want to talk about, the Jack Adams, obviously going to Barry Trotz, but how much respect and honor should be given towards what Craig Berube's done here?
Oh, I mean,
it's crazy.
It's unbelievable how he's
turned his team around. Well, they got a goalie, too, but
yeah, for sure. That's a big factor. But the rest of the team has kind of started to come around. Like Pietrangelo, too. His goal numbers aren't there. But
yeah.
But his game has really come around. The defense has come around as a whole. And on the flip side, what the heck is going on with Colorado? What are the Avalanche?
They're 2 years
ago,
they're
the worst team of the salary cap era. Then they get into the playoffs last year, and it looks like they're coming up. And they start great this year. And now it's all falling apart.
But next year they're going to be good, guaranteed, because Cale Makar and potentially Jack Hughes or Kako.
Kako, or maybe both of them or whatever. but how does this happen? They start the season with the best power play in the league for the first 2 months. And now they're towards the bottom of the league. 0 for the last 25 power plays.
Yeah.
With this star power, how does that happen?
Well, look around the league. Look at all the struggling teams. Toronto, Nashville. It's all the upper echelon teams with all the star power can't produce in the power play. Does it make sense? No.
And but, it was working. And yeah. It just stops working.
Videotape, I tell you, and coaching goes a long way in the NHL, especially when it comes to special teams. I mean, when you zone in on something, there's chatter around the league mm-hmm. and teams start to pick up on that. And I was just thinking, too, how incredible would that be when they have the whole process to announce the teams for the draft lottery in Colorado, their balls show up for 1 and 2. Like, that would be unprecedented. Waters.
You know, as much as we talk about Jack Hughes, Sam Cosentino's draft rankings came out this week. And for the first time, he mentioned that, you know what? Kako is making a little bit of a push. And we do hear this a lot for when guys especially hold the number one spot for a long time.
That's got to be a storyline.
Late. Yeah. But it is worth pointing out, Kaapo Kakko right now is averaging 0.46 goals per game in the Finnish Liga, the top league in Finland against men. That is the best rate of any under 18 player that has played in that league since 1990. Barkov was at 0.4. Laine was at 0.37. This guy is seriously making a push and putting up some big numbers there.
Yeah, from everything we've known about the player, he's really, really scary. So is Jack Hughes, and can't wait for that draft coming up in Vancouver. It's Nick Alberger, Rory Boylan with you on Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Two more games to uncover. We'll go off next to T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, the struggling Golden Knights against the Nashville Predators. The battle of the backups, by the way, in that game, Yu Saros. And much-deserved time here for Malcolm Subban. They got to find a way to rest Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, so Fleury is 34 years old. Only two times in NHL history, since 1967, I should say, has a goalie 34 years or older, played 60 or more games in a season, and then went on to win the Stanley Cup. And they were in back-to-back years with Dominic Hasek and Patrick Waugh.
Wow.
You know, Fleury himself, his numbers in the playoffs are much better in years where he starts less than 60 games. 924 in those situations, an 894 save percentage in playoffs where he plays 60 or more games. It's just, it's right there in front of you. You can't expect him to put up great numbers and go on a long run if he plays a ton of games. It might happen, but the numbers are definitely against it.
It's funny, like Marty Brodeur of 1996 would laugh at this entire discussion because that's all he did was go out there and start 75 games a year, then win the Stanley
Cup.
And
there are guys who are younger who have done it.
Yeah.
But the point is, he's older now. Fleury is one of the guys. Fleury won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh playing more than 60 games when he was 24 years old. It's just, he's at an advanced age now where things are going to hurt a little differently the next day. It's a little bit longer to
recover.
We all
know about that. And certainly I think with the access to numbers in this day and age, it leads us to believe that it's going to be more difficult at that rate. Anyways, to the highlights we go. Vegas responds after getting torpedoed by the Maple Leafs the other night, especially in the third period. Max Pacioretty kicks off the scoring at 17-17 of the first period from Eakin and Lindberg. 1-0 Golden Knights after 20. More of the same into the second, the midway point. On the power play are the Golden Knights.
Now speeding ahead, Carlson. He makes a great move. Darts down the middle. Worked over to Peary. And a diving block. Rebound score.
That call courtesy of Willie Donick on Fox Sports Tennessee. It's Brandon Peary. Haven't heard that name in a while. His 10th in the power play from Smith and Carlson. And the Golden Knights would rip things open in the third period. Shea Theodore, his 9th. Kevin Fiala would respond for the Preds, his 10th, and Lindberg, his 4th. Pacioretty again, his 18th. And the response I think Gerard Gallant was looking for in this game. 5-1 the final, taking care of business against the Nashville Predators in this game. Is there reason to be concerned if you're either one of these teams, especially Nashville, who lost this game 2-3-2 in the last seven?
I'm mildly concerned if I'm Nashville because you're starting to see that there's a bit of a secondary scoring
trends.
Problem developing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their power play, we know it's the worst in the NHL. Pekka has been pretty pedestrian for the last little while here now. And you're not going to go into the playoffs, I don't think, starting Yu Saros in game one.
You never know. Grubauer sort of last year for
yeah,
the Caps, right?
Yeah, you do. But this exact situation played out for Nashville 2 years ago. And there was never a doubt from within there that Rene was going to be the starter. So I would be shocked. And Vegas, they're just in this spot now where Look, they're going to finish third in the Pacific Division. And Gallant, when he was on Hockey Central at noon, we was asked the question about, you know, when do you start game planning or looking at your opponent for the playoffs? And he said, you know, that's something you do just before. But yeah. You look at it, they're playing Calgary or San Jose. They are, I guess, 8-9 points clear of the next player, the next team in their division in Vancouver. They're 9 points back of San Jose and Colorado or Calgary. They're going to play one of those two teams ahead of them. So I think right now you can start game planning for one of them because you're third and you're not going to have home ice advantage in the first round.
One of the very few teams who have that luxury at this point in time yep. to really game plan already for the Stanley Cup playoffs, which still are roughly about 25 to 30 games away. Our final stop of the night, Fox Sports West. And this one, Alex Faust will have the call. The LA Kings and the Boston Bruins. Jake DeBrusk kicks off the scoring his 17th into the second, where Ilya Kovalchuk would score his 12th. Vintage variety, I felt, on the power play. Then Brad Marchand, his 23rd. It was 2-1 Bs after 40 in a game, by the way, that Jack Campbell started because Jonathan Quick is dealing with illness right now. We're into the third period. Alex Iafallo would score his 12th from Ledoux, and Kempe made it a 2-2 game at that point. And then the Boston Bruins, how about this, late in this one, just steal this one from the LA Kings.
In each of the last three losses for the Bruins, they've blown a third period lead. McAvoy in the bottom of the circle, DeBrusk slides it through, and they score! McAvoy and DeBrusk. And the Bruins have taken the lead with a minute 13 to go.
Don't look now, Boston's starting to get going a bit. They always seem to do it this time of year. Charlie McAvoy, the game winner, is third from DeBrusk and Krejci. And just for good measure, at 19-23, it's Mr. 1,000 games.
Kempe one hands it across. It's loose, and they score. It is Bergeron taking advantage of the loose puck. And two goals in the span of 30 seconds or so have undone the Kings here.
Impressive individual effort there from Patrice Bergeron, his 21st, and Boston finds a way again on the back-to-back, 4-2 the final. They've won five in a row, now 7-0-3 in the past 10 games, and they're 7-0-1 in eight games in February.
So this is a storyline that we seem to hear about and see every single season, that Tuukka Rask, again, out of the gates was not that great. And some fans freak out about that, and what's wrong with this
Shouldn't
guy
do that.
And everything like that. In his last 14 appearances now since December 29th, I mean, he's 11-0-2.
He's good.
And he's won five games in a row now. He's found himself again. Like every other year, the same
it's
thing
like,
happens.
Listen to Nick Alberga's fantasy advice.
Yeah.
Sportsnet.ca.
Yes, do it. And they're going to add at the deadline. I thought Don Sweeney, when he got out in front of the meeting, was talking about that David Pastrnak injury.
Which I thought was funny, by the way. When's the last time a team had such intricate details on an injury, which led me to believe there's some foul play involved?
Yeah.
Right?
It was curious how that happened.
At 11:53 p.m. Eastern time, David Pastrnak walking down the street with his friends after a charity ball. Like, it's...
Slips and falls.
This is a league that always gives us lower body injury, upper yes. body injury, mid body injury, but now they're telling yep. us time and date stuff, which leads me to believe, hey, are they hiding something here, Rory?
It was very funny how they did that.
Yeah. You got that sense. So that's your final 12 games in the NHL in the books, and we get closer and closer now, 8 days away from the NHL trade deadline. The winners, once again, Philadelphia, the Calgary Flames, St. Louis won 9 in a row now. Toronto Maple Leafs falling 2-0 to Arizona. Ottawa wins 4-3, the final in Winnipeg. OT winner Ryan Dzingel there. Tampa wins 3-0 over Montreal. The Canes are in a playoff spot heading into Sunday. The Islanders win again. Oilers lose again. Columbus wins. Panarin has a monster night in Chicago. Boston, San Jose, and Vegas also winners. Your general thoughts on Saturday's action?
Well, these playoff races are just getting so much more intense here now.
Finally.
Even in the Eastern Conference, now that Carolina is making their push here and have actually gotten past Pittsburgh, who plays again tomorrow at home against the New York Rangers. So that seems to be a game that they should win, right? That can't be one that they let slip away. And Pittsburgh does have a game in hand on Carolina, so that will help get them. They could even move into a tie with Montreal if they come out of that game with a win. And another huge one on Sunday is St. Louis in Minnesota. And Minnesota is still one of those teams, I think they don't know what they're going to do at the deadline. And I know Hayden is really
Eric Staal, see ya.
He's got to get moved.
He
just hasn't been himself this year. And the Blues are just cruising right now. But that's a game where if Minnesota loses it, You're really just hanging on by a thread to that second wild card spot with some other teams trying to make a move behind you. Vancouver with a favorable March schedule. Arizona coming off a big win, really tough defensively, but Chicago making a big charge, especially just 3 points back. Another loss for Minnesota is just going to further push them into that seller's department. If they become a seller, that could really warp the trade market even further. I think it goes beyond Eric Staal. Yeah.
And you want to talk about the importance of trades, even adding the fact that Nino Niederreiter, since going to Carolina, the Canes 9-3-1, since acquiring Victor Rask, Minnesota 4-5-3. So sometimes it's that little move that could put you over the top, yep, positively or negatively. Can't wait to see what transpires over the next week. And next Saturday, Rory, we're going to be 2 days away from the festivities. So
bring it on.
Hopefully everybody
get some trades next
Saturday.
Yeah,
I was going to say, hopefully we get some trades, and hopefully some teams wait until the final moment so we can actually have some theater for once. Too much Merrick sometimes. No, I'm kidding. It's Nick Alberger, Rory Boylan. Thanks so much for listening here on Hockey Central Saturday.